Hello to you, Terry Wallace.
Hello, Andy. How are you going?
I'm going okay. I'm going all right. Good news. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a federal election coming up. I'm not sure you're aware of that.
Pretty hard to miss.
Yeah, so there's money being thrown around all over the place, here, there and everywhere. And I reckon if you can get your piece of it to develop your backyard, then go your hardest. And
$150 million's not a bad piece.
It's good, isn't it?
You know, not bad at all.
Footy's getting its piece. Prince's Park's going to be redeveloped. That was announced a couple of months ago. Now the Western Oval, the Witten Oval, is going to be the beneficiary of a massive, massive redevelopment, which is going to be terrific for the local area, terrific for the footy club, great for, you know, so many other people in the area. It's going to be a real boon for the region. And I'm sure it takes you back to the last time we ever played a real, like a proper men's game of football at the joint.
Yeah, all the way back to August 1997, which was my first year as a full-time coach. I coached half the 96 season. So, Scotty Wine was the skipper at that time. That was the famous Michael Gardner.
That's okay, right, rough him up.
Yep, we went after him. Yep. We went after him before the sirens sort of sounded. Look, you could not have fit more people into that ground that day. It was absolutely just jockers, probably too many. You know, now currently wouldn't be allowed, but and it was a typical Witten Oval day. Yeah, it belted down just before the start of the game, like, so it was, you know, heavy conditions, really midwinter sort of style game.
Let me guess, there was some wind.
Fond memories.
There was a bit of wind around the place.
Always wind.
You know, forget about it. You know, Essendon's home ground, Windy Hill. They should have come up with another name for it, because honestly, the Western Oval, Witten Oval, that was always the windiest ground in the VFL back in those days.
Oh yeah, I can remember the first night I actually went there as a player and trained. I reckon I nearly missed my foot a couple of times with the ball. It was so windy. But look, just great heritage and great history around the ground. I'd love to see them play games there. I'd feel a bit sorry for those who bought the big posters the last ever game at the Witten Oval. I think myself and Mick Malthouse and the two captains, obviously Wynne and Worsfold, signed about 10 of these original posters that were then flogged off left, right and centre. Mightn't be the case. They mightn't be worth much value anymore if it's not the last game there. But look, I think it'll be fantastic. The ground's got great heritage. I was just sort of saying to a couple of you boys that my barbecue
you
at home.
You snaffled something, yeah.
They used to have like cobblestone or bluestone, a bluestone road right out the front of Witten Oval, which obviously when they redid the ground, that's now a proper road there. But it was the old bluestone road was there and they dug it all up. And they sort of said, look, we don't really want it. So my barbecue at home is from the old bluestone from right out the front of the Witten Oval. So, got great history.
How much, before, we won't spend too much time on this because we want to get to the games and get your thoughts on, you know, why you've got them from 1-9 the way you have. But now that we've had this now for, you know, 20 years, beyond 20 years, this sort of, you know, ground rationalisation, we understand why it happened. We understand, right? But how much do you reckon the game has lost? Now that we can look back and assess what we have now, what the 2019 version looks like compared to what we had once upon a time.
I don't think it's lost anything if you are a now generation person.
Yep.
Because you don't know what you didn't have.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yep.
But for people of my generation who, you know, were as teenagers jumping on trams and trains to get to all these grounds and the nuances of each ground and their supporter base. For me, we've lost plenty in that way. That's why I just love to make sure that these homes remain.
Absolutely.
So there is at least the history around this is what once was.
Do you reckon the modern player, like the kids coming into the system now who go to represent a club like the Western Bulldogs now, do you reckon they would embrace playing three or four games a year at a venue like the Western Oval or Witten Oval?
Yeah, I do.
You reckon it would?
Just because there's still so much history involved in it, and you know, if you only got to look around at any of these clubs, and you know, whether it's their trophies, whether it's books
about
the historical value of the club. When you go to functions, there's still that reference there. So, I absolutely think they would.
That's why, as a, and I know, you know, people will be listening to us all over Australia via the app, and we don't mean to be too Victorian centric about all this, but you can apply this to, you know, your own state leagues, I imagine. But that's why I'm envious of, as a Carlton supporter, that's why I'm envious of Geelong.
Yeah.
That they've been able, that they've still got it, and they tap into that heritage of that football club
no doubt.
All the time when they run out in front of their home fans, and the history of Kidinia Park, it, despite that fact that that ground changes and develops, it's there all the time, you
but
know?
But it is all over Australia, because, I mean, I can remember the old Escort Cup days and going to play Norwood on Norwood Oval.
And
it had its own, absolutely had its
what
own
a great
history.
Footy ground that is.
Exactly. So, I mean, it doesn't matter where it is. Mm. It's just, I mean, that's your history and heritage there in a nutshell.
Yep. So, look, we'll wait and see. It's a massive tick for footy in the, you know, obviously the inner western suburbs of Melbourne, for the Western Bulldogs Footy Club, and for all of the kind of the arms of that footy club and for the local region. It's a terrific piece of news that Mick Warner broke in the Herald Sun today. Right, are you going?
I just want to throw out, we didn't do our Plough votes
on Tuesday.
So I'll just go through them very quickly, and then we'll put them up on social media. Yep. You can have a look at them later on. So the best player of the round, I gave one vote to Nick Floston, two votes to Travis Boak, three votes to Gary Ablett, four votes to Scott Pendlebury, and five votes to Jager O'Meara. Why Jager O'Meara? Yep. Because if he doesn't play, Hawthorn don't win. Yeah. I mean, it's as simple as that, and you could probably say the same thing for Pendlebury in exactly the same point. The recruits, one vote to Dane Beams, two votes to Jared Lyons, three votes to Dylan Shiel, four votes to Gary Rowan, and five votes to Lockie Neal. And the under 50 players, toughest one here was Sydney Stack, because the body of work wasn't huge, but the impact was massive.
Hell of a hole, that's real.
I didn't get him in, but I understand Tiger fans who are sort of saying, what, you're crazy? It was just a brilliant game. One vote to Grian Myers, two votes to Connor Rosie, three votes to Jacob Hopper, four votes to Alex Keith, and five votes to Tim Taranto, who I thought was best on the ground in that game. Still under 50 games, Tim Taranto. So we'll put them up with a list of where everyone
stands.
Where everyone stands, and we'll just do that on a weekly basis, normally on a Tuesday.
There was a bit too much to get through on Tuesday, so it got squeezed out, unfortunately. Righto, before the games, a segment we used to do on Friday afternoons, Terry, where we'd know a bit more about what the teams look like, because we'd have, you know, obviously squads or provisional squads to work with, but I reckon it's a really good way of looking at the round. We get you to rank the games in order of importance.
There's three games this week that I'm just sitting there going, who's going to win?
Yeah.
Who is going to, I mean, there might be other upsets, but there's three of them that I just sit there and go, I could honestly just toss a coin on them.
And there's some big games. There's a couple down the bottom, and there's one club, if we've got time, we'll get to them and have a slightly more extended chat about them right down the bottom when we get there. But there's a couple of games at the top that are very, very interesting. So good luck separating them. Which is the most important and interesting game of the round for you?
And the game that I'm doing, which I'm looking forward to, is Geelong and Essendon. The country game, which is they're trying to grow and develop that. I hope it works. And I think it got a little bit bigger last year than sort of where it started. So hopefully that works out, particularly for the
Bombers. So why this game?
We had Essendon play on Anzac Day and missed by an inch.
Yep.
I think most of us walked away from Anzac Day going, they might be in the mix.
People have started talking about it, haven't they? Yeah.
And Geelong, the trendsetters, the pace setters, as we sit at the moment. So we get another look at Essendon versus the club that's setting all the trends in the competition at the moment. So I just think it's a really, really interesting game. The other factor for me is the Bombers coming off missing by an inch. I mean, sometimes, you just can't wait to get back again. They've had a nice long break to get ready for the game. Geelong ticking every box and doing everything right, but they're not going to win every week. I think this is one of the 50-50 games, personally.
Are you buying into are you starting to open your mind more about Essendon? You won't have seen enough yet. I put that to you, but are you starting to buy into the potential reality that they might be a genuine premiership contender by the end of this season?
I'm not that far yet. I'm buying into the fact that One, I'm buying into the fact that I think that they should play finals. And the other thing that I'm buying into is I think that their squad talent-wise is probably as good as most in the competition. I'm not buying into them being as tight structurally as some of the sides in the competition right as we stand at the moment. But you get the whole back half of the year to actually, you know, tighten those sort of things up and get it right. And we've seen sides over the last few years who've got on a roll you know, in the back half of the year, particularly the Bulldogs. But so, I mean, that can change as it's going along. So that's my one thing for them at the moment is, are they just as tight structurally as some of the others?
Does Geelong need to prove anything to you about its capacity to play its best footy at the MCG?
Yeah.
It does still? Yeah. Despite the fact that it's had, you know, it's claimed Collingwood and Hawthorn there already this year?
Well, I think history says to us that when they've got onto that ground at certain stages, they haven't handled it. You know, when the whips are cracking later in the year, they're going along. They're ticking most boxes as we sort of speak at the moment. Their scores when they play down at Geelong are a lot lower. Opposition scores are a lot lower than when they play.
Gee, they defend the ground well down there, don't they? They defend their ground brilliantly.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. And then, look, the other thing with them is that they've got most of their good players are playing good footy, and they've brought in some players, whether that's be players from other sides, obviously like Gary Rowan, Dalhouse, or youngsters like Ryan Myers. They're all performing.
Yeah, they are.
They're getting a really good balance of, you know, the older guys. Well, you know, we'll have a look at the Plowlow votes for this week. You've got one of the old fellas in there in Gary Ablett.
Yeah.
You've got one of their new recruits.
Yeah.
In Gary Rowan. And then you've got Ryan Myers getting votes in the under 50.
Yep. And they're already in a position the last couple of weeks where they've been able to, they're going so well and they've clearly got depth bubbling away underneath, where they've been able to look at a couple of the young kids who have been standouts early in the year and say, righto, you just have a rest.
Yep.
You know, we're already in a position now where they're starting to manage.
2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, which is terrific.
Yeah.
Don't forget to grab your AFL record this weekend. Still just $5. Thanks to Karcher, the official 2019 partner of the record.
The only problem with the Bombers, they're starting to lose a few of those key forwards, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, another one Brown out this week. Kernan out from a couple of weeks ago. So that just, Francis, we expect him to come in and play forward.
Yep.
But we haven't seen him play that for a while. I mean, he certainly played it at,
VFL level
and, you know, through his under-18 times, but we haven't seen much of it at AFL level.
The big left footer's looking all right, isn't he? He's come back in good nick, hasn't he?
We'll test him out this week.
Yeah, it will.
Mark Blitzos.
Yeah, that'll be it. What a matchup.
What a jewel.
God, what a matchup. Well, we thought, Darcy Moore, Joe Danaher was a mouth-watering matchup.
But one bloke's won two best and fairest as a key defender, and the other one's learning his trade.
Yep.
Looks a beauty.
Which way are you going?
I'm going the Bombers.
I'm going the Cats. So I plucked one back from you last week, which is a turn up for the books.
Well, that's because you got nine.
I think a few people did last week.
Yeah, good effort. Always a good effort to get nine. Doesn't matter when.
Game number two.
Game number two is Friday night's game, the Magpies versus Port Adelaide. A little bit like Essendon. Do we get to sort of see Port Adelaide and make a determination on are they the real deal? I heard some of David King's comments of recent times sort of saying what they are doing statistically stacks up with the absolute best in the competition. And I know he expects from a statistical point of view that they will stack up.
Yep.
I still have Collingwood just in front of them. I just think Collingwood are the better of the two sides, particularly with Robbie Gray going out.
That's the one, isn't it? Yeah. You feel like at the end of this one, they're irrespective of the outcome, they're both going to say, or internally they'll say, well, we can get better. From a manpower perspective, we can both find a way of improving, but particularly Port Adelaide without Robbie Gray.
Yeah, I always worry or a bit dubious about sides coming off a massive big game and getting a massive result in that big game, which is just the thing for Collingwood. But the flip side of that is they've had a fair while to actually get themselves realigned, reorganised to set their sights. Even if they did spend the next 3 or 4 days talking about everything that was Anzac Day and dealing with that, there was still enough time to sort of, you know, look at Port Adelaide, go after them.
It's going to be interesting to see a couple of these young Port Adelaide players cope. It's not the G, so it's not going to be 60, 70, 75, but it is still, it's going to be a packed Docklands.
It's still going to be rocking, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. They'll make a lot of noise, the Collingwood supporters, on a Friday night. It'll be interesting to see a couple of these young Port Adelaide players who play in front of big crowds at home, but should be a bit more hostile down at the Docklands, I reckon, against the Collingwood faithful.
But they seem to be handling most things, don't they?
They seem built for it, I reckon.
Yeah, the youngsters have been really, really good.
Yep. Xavier Dursme gets the Rising Star this week, so another one, you know.
I still think that those kids are going to hit some form of flat spot. Yeah. We haven't seen it yet.
Collingwood for me too. Part of Port are on the road tomorrow night thanks to Dometic Mobile Living Made Easy Achieve Independent Temperatures from two separate cooling compartments with the Dometic CFX Dual Zone range. Games number 3 and 4 we'll get to on the other side of the break before the game. Terry Wallace. Subway lunch hour, head to Subway, try the new hot grilled paninis. Terry Wallace in the studio before the games. We're down the first two. Geelong Essendon, the most important game of the round. Collingwood v Port, ranked number 2. What's ranked number 3, Terry?
Well, it's a national game and it's the Crows and the Fremantle Dockers.
Oh, good game this.
Yeah, it looks a really good game. Oh, yeah. Fremantle, obviously, have surprised us all. I heard you speaking about them the other day and just really how we might have all underrated some of their players and probably more their depth players. Mm. We knew that the new structure could make clearly some difference, but they've just got more out of.
Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
the Darcy Tuckers of the world and guys like that. So Ryan, I think people have underestimated what his capabilities are as that intercept defender.
Mm.
But that's only a couple. Langdon.
Ethan Hughes, a good player.
Ethan Hughes,
God.
And then the Crows, who got their act together to a degree last week on their own patch there over in South Australia and needing desperately to almost get on a roll.
You talk about trust a lot. Do you trust Adelaide yet? Do you trust that the form's real?
No, not yet. But I'll be more trusting.
Yeah.
I think we find out a fair bit about both of these clubs.
Yeah.
Fremantle have been good, yes. Second highest percentage in the competition.
Yeah.
But they've still only just got over the line
in
home games.
Yeah, true.
Against the Saints and against the Doggies, who I don't think many of us have playing finals football. I know Saints fans will be hoping that they can get up there and play finals footy, as will Dogs fans, but I would sort of say most of us would sit back and say that's probably more unlikely than likely, and they've just been able to get over the line on their home ground. Clearly their big win was the GWS win for the Dockers.
Oh, away from home. That was massive.
So I just don't think Adelaide can afford to drop another home game if they're going to be making a run at finals.
Great way to finish the round. Are you tipping Adelaide on the strength of the fact that it's at the Adelaide Oval?
I am.
So am I. Yeah. I reckon if the game was anywhere else.
Correct. Yeah, neutral ground, I'd be picking for it.
Yep, so we're both on the Crows.
Yep.
Game number 4 on the other side of the news headlines. Thanks, Steph. We're whipping our way through before the games with Terry Wallace ranking the games in order of importance. Geelong v Essendon, Collingwood v Port, Adelaide v Freo. Games 1, 2, 3 as we get into round 7 tomorrow night. Game number 4. It's
Saturday arvo.
Yeah.
Could go anyway.
Is it
Melbourne Hawthorn?
If they've got any hope, Melbourne.
Yep.
And it's getting harder by the week, obviously. This is it, right?
Correct.
Is this it?
Correct.
We write them off if they don't.
10 days,
yep.
Mouth guards in.
Yeah.
they are a side who can win first use of the ball, playing against a side who really struggles to win first use of the ball. This is their chance.
Yep.
This is it. Hawthorn do a lot of other things right, but the one strength of Melbourne is the weakness of Hawthorn. So that, if you're coaching, you're sort of saying that's opportunity. It's just lights should be going off everywhere. That's where we can get them. That's where Carlton got them. And have a look what they did to them in the first half. They couldn't sustain it.
Yep.
And that'll be where Melbourne will be coming after them.
So how does Melbourne, is there an easy solution or a solution that you've identified of turning ball one inside and inside 50 entries into scoreboard? Is there something? Because they're talking about dropping Woidam. Now, we'll find out later on tonight, obviously.
Yeah.
McDonald looked better when he went back last week.
So, therefore, you've structured up all summer with Woidam and McDonald and you might end up with none of them.
Neither of them. So, what do you do? Like, what's left for you if you sign a good one?
And then the other factor is that they flipped everything around so much last week. Do they keep it that way? So where's Hibbard going to play? Where's Melksham going to play? Like, there's so many questions surrounding how this team's going to look coming out on Saturday, and therefore, how does it play?
Yeah, exactly. Makes it a tad more difficult for the opposition, doesn't it? Like, you want to know what you're building towards and setting up for and against. It makes it a bit more difficult.
It does.
To a degree.
Yeah, it does, but I think that the other mob, the Hawks, are so structured. Mm. I mean, I don't think that it's going to change a lot of what they do. To me, the answer for the game is if Hawthorn can get anywhere near even around the middle of the ground, so I'm just talking straight clearance contested ball work, if they can get even if they lose it marginally, they win.
Yeah.
But can they compete in that area?
How are you seeing Jack Gunston's season so far?
Struggling, but in fairness, forward, back.
Yeah, all
forward,
over the shop.
Like, I'd like to see him settled. I mean, and I know that that's how they use him as the swing man. And you know, any time that they have any urgency, he will go back behind the ball. I understand all that.
Yep.
But I'd like to see him play the forward role. And I don't mind him in game going back to play that role. Understand that when they all went down the other week, he had to go back just to secure them up. I'm totally with that decision for that to have occurred. But I'd just like to see him play a month forward.
Hard to know. Do you give Melbourne, do you have faith in them one more time? If you've been on them all year or most of the year and they keep letting you down, do you go again thinking that it's got to come sooner or later? Their form has to turn sooner or later, or have you seen enough and you go with the tried and true?
Well, I won't be shocked if I'm sitting there Saturday night and Melbourne's won the game easily.
Comfortably, I know. I'm the same.
Because they've just got them in the middle of the ground and just ripped the heart out of them with first use footy. But until I see it, I can't pick it.
Hawthorn?
I'm going Hawthorn.
Okay, Hawthorn. Game number five. There's one of these games where there's a macabre sense of foreboding overshadowing this one. Terry, I reckon the fallout for the loser of this one is so much more significant than the what comes for the winner.
Yeah, well, and it is the Blues versus the Kangaroos. I don't pick them. These games on ladder position.
No.
This is team 5 versus team 10 or team 5 versus team 7. Let's make it a little bit closer together. I just pick them on intrigue and where I think that they can go. And the intrigue couldn't be any higher. And I think it's actually heightened because of the situation that happened to Carlton last week and the circumstance that they now find themselves in at selection this week. I think it heightens it again. So when you're looking at the two sides up against each other, are you picking the side who, of recent weeks, has looked really sharp, look like they want to take a step in the right direction and look pretty exciting, but they've been banged up and they've lost players, and so therefore the continuity of performance, and particularly with a big fella Cruiser in the middle of the ground not being there, does that impact a bit because of the fact that there might be four or five out? Or do you go the side who is much more settled, much more balanced in what they're going to put onto the park, but they haven't really shown a lot?
Yeah, you know?
And I don't take a lot into that last 5 goals against Port Adelaide. You know, the game's over. Yeah, you just get on a little bit of a roll late in the game. I don't take a lot of stock into that, but I do take stock in the fact that they're more stable than their opposition.
I fear for the loser of this one. I really don't. I think there's
there's an excuse for Carlton.
I think the media pack's waiting for North Melbourne this week.
I don't think that there's excuse for North Melbourne.
I think they're waiting to pile in. I think they've been building, they've been waiting, and this is the one. And if you reckon it's been, if you're a North Melbourne supporter and saying, turn it up, they've been all over North Melbourne, and you blokes and everyone else has been talking about them all week. Well, stand by. If this Carlton team beats North Melbourne this week, I think the floodgates might open and they might come hard.
I'm agreeing with you.
Which way are you going? It feels like you're going towards north.
I'm going north.
I'm going to tip the Blues. I haven't tipped the Blues for a couple of weeks. So
I've got more faith in Carlton going forward than
understand.
What I have in north. But this week, I'm going north.
Looking forward to the selections this week. Carlton's got 4 that they're going to have to make changes to. And I reckon there might be a bit of the old and a bit of the new coming in this week. So watch this space. After the break, we'll see what games are 6, 7, 8 and 9 are with Terry Wallace as he whips his way through before the games. and Terry Wallace as we work our way through the games. Before the games, it's a great effort for Gunston to get up each week. He's carrying a fair bit, writes somebody off the text machine.
Well, that's what we don't know, but we can only judge on what's going on out there.
Absolutely.
But plus, as I sort of said, so if he is carrying a bit of an injury, and then he's been thrown from end to end as well. So
can I just say one thing? But there's one little moment in that game, and this is Hawthorn, I reckon. This comes from when you've got three premierships in the back pocket, you don't worry about necessarily moments in round six. But Gunston was struggling on the weekend again. Couldn't really get into the game. And it was in the third quarter when they're starting to come. And he got a ball on the outer half-back flank. And this is where Carlton stopped. And this was a bit more, this is way more about Hawthorn than it is about Carlton. Gunston swung, had the little fumble, and then got it and swung and saw Dan Howe in the middle of the ground. Howe was surrounded by Carlton players. Yeah. About three of them around, only no more than 5 or 6 feet off him. Gunston did not think twice about taking the kick and hit him on the breast. Yeah. Like, it was a magnificent kick. So cometh the moment, these players, and you know who they are, there's 8 or 9 of them at Hawthorn.
He's a great player. I mean, you don't do what he's done in finals, in grand finals.
Yep.
He's an inch away from winning a Norm Smith medal.
Yeah.
He's a great player.
He really is. So
it doesn't surprise me that he might be banged up. That does not shock me at all.
Yeah. Where are we up to? Game number six.
Game number six is the GWS St Kilda game. I'm a bit forgiving on the Saints. One down week, I thought that they'd been pretty good with their attack on the footy and the man. I think that's been a real improvement. Structurally, they've looked better this year, certainly, than last year with the balance of when to go fast, when to play with some sort of poise. So I think that's been better. I rated it a little bit because there's still a little bit in GWS. Whitfield won't play.
Yep.
Cornelio and Davis, we don't know yet.
Yep.
But both of them, even if they do play, will be a bit banged up. So, I mean, that's three absolute stuff. I mean, you lose Ward 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
And then Ward goes down, Whitfield's gone down, and you've got some sort of question mark on Davis and Cornelio. If you're St Kilda, you go, gee, well, this is when we want to play them, whether you're good enough to be able to get a result and away from home, but it's the right time to be playing them.
Anywhere at any stage this week in the Brains Trust meetings at the Giants, are they taking into account the fact that it's St Kilda and you've got these blokes? If it was a do-or-die preliminary final, then there's probably no doubt on the blokes who are 50-50. But it's round seven.
Correct.
And it's St Kilda.
Yeah, I don't think it's the...
They're not taking risks, are they?
I don't think it's a St Kilda factor at all.
You don't think...
I think it's a round seven factor.
Okay, right.
We've got bigger fish to fry here. We'll go in with what we've got available, fit and well, and be able to take them on. But we're not going to put somebody out there that potentially could get then hurt and lose them for the back half of the year. So I don't think it's about St Kilda. I think that they've been too competitive in their games to be taking any risk with them.
Yeah. There was a moment last week, Terry.
In which game?
In the St Kilda-Adelaide game.
Yep.
When it felt like it was sliding away from St Kilda. That's just, Loney's gone. It feels like they've already got all the injuries that we know about. And it felt like the game was slipping away from them. And Matthew Parker was involved in about 4, 5, or 6 phases of play. Obviously, the big mark and goal, but there are other phases of play where he's involved in. He showed...
He's a competitive beast,
isn't he? What?
Yeah.
He looks like a bloke who's full of lair and X factor and can do all that stuff, but there was something about him that showed a deep competitiveness that I think if you're a St Kilda supporter, you look at those couple of moments in the game last week from that young fella and you think, well, we might have something... bit more than I thought here.
Yeah, I think Long is another one who's prepared to fight the fight. So I think they've brought in a couple of guys. He's played before, but just a couple of guys into that structured system that really want to have a crack, that want to base a game around, tackle pressure and being involved in all aspects of the game. It's been a better look for them.
Yep.
I don't have any doubt it's been a better look for them.
You can't tip St Kilda though, can you?
I can't. Not up there. They've dropped, I know it was in Canberra, but they've dropped their one home game already, the GWS. They want to be dropping another.
Yep. Game number seven.
So game number seven is the Bulldogs and Tigers. And most people, I think, could sit back and go, well, Tigers just win. go back to the last game last year that they played, and it went right down to the wire. It was a really good standard game, and the Bulldogs really took it up to them. Then you go, well, we just learned, if you just jumped in your car, David Asprey not playing, so he's out. So you've got no Rance, no Asprey, no Riewoldt. That's half your spine that's gone out of the Tigers side, I should say. Only problem is that Richmond haven't got their number one spine there, and the Bulldogs haven't got a spine. And I don't mean that in the sense of
I know exactly what you're talking about.
They're big blokes. They just can't get anything going with their big guys.
Would it surprise you, though, if this Richmond team, the team, the 22 they're picking at the moment, who are exceeding, I would have thought, a lot of... they're performing magnificently given the players that aren't playing.
Yeah.
Would it surprise you at some stage if this group just had a down day? They've got a lot of players who are...
It wouldn't surprise me for any side in this competition to have a down day.
Yeah, but this particular Richmond team...
I trust them.
Yeah, just trust the name.
I trust their structures. Yep. I think, at the moment, I think they're structurally not what's out in the park, as in players, but structurally I think they're as tight as anyone play.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's something about, and as much as they win respect and they deserve it, and credit to them for calling up the four, five and six players they've had to dig in to call up, it's a team on paper, the names on paper just don't look as intimidating and imposing as, obviously, as Richmond teams have in the last couple of years. And it just wouldn't surprise me if one of these games, if the Western Bulldogs have a day where they play for four quarters instead of the two and a half or three that they've been producing, you know, here and there. Yeah. They were pretty good last week a lot of that game.
Their running capacity, their halfbacks, their ability through the middle of the ground is excellent.
Yep.
I just can't trust Will Hayes. I thought he
was... Yeah, you throw him into the mix.
Thought he was really good last week.
They're going to get a day where, you know, Lloyd and Dixon kick their three or four each, and Norton hasn't touched the footy for 2 weeks. I don't know what they're going to do with that. They played that young fella. They played him out of form, Terry. I mean, so I don't know what they're going to do. I've got a feeling about this game. I don't want to tip against Richmond, but I've got a feeling about this game. You're tipping the Tigers?
I'm tipping the Tigers. I trust the Tigers. I really trust
the Tigers. Yeah, I think you've got to tip them, but I've got a real feeling about this one. Quickly, game number eight.
Brisbane and Sydney. I didn't think I'd be seeing Brisbane at the Gabba with Sydney Swans going up there.
It's been so low,
but it's not based on the Lions.
Yep.
It's based on what the Swans have dished up.
Yep.
Horrible, the fact that they've lost their last three at the SCG this year, or their only three. Their last two, like five in a row, they've lost at the SCG now.
Do you feel like Brisbane's just going to run them off their legs in this game?
Yep.
Oh, that's what I feel like. They won't be able to hang on to it for long enough.
No,
Sydney.
Buddy not there again, obviously.
Yep.
So that's a concern. I think some of their younger players that were in reasonable form last year aren't in the same form. They haven't been able to sort of hold that or sustain that sort of that form. I think the Lions get them and get them pretty comfortably.
And Terry Wallace, as we work our way through the games, before the games, it's a great effort for Gunston to get up each week. He's carrying a fair bit, writes somebody off the text machine.
Well, that's what we don't know, but we can only judge on what's going on out there.
Absolutely.
But plus, as I sort of said, so if he is carrying a bit of an injury, and then he's been thrown from end to end as well. So
can I just say one thing? But there's one little moment in that game, and this is Hawthorn, I reckon. This comes from when you've got three premierships in the back pocket, you don't worry about necessarily moments in round six. But Gunston was struggling on the weekend again. Couldn't really get into the game. And it was in the third quarter when they're starting to come. And he got a ball on the outer halfback flank. And this is where Carlton stopped. And this was this is way more about Hawthorn than it is about Carlton. Gunston swung, had the little fumble, and then got it and swung and saw Dan Howe in the middle of the ground. Howe was surrounded by Carlton players. Yeah. About three of them around, no more than 5 or 6 feet off him. Gunston did not think twice about taking the kick and hit him on the breast. Yeah. Like, it was a magnificent kick. So, cometh the moment, these players, and you know who they are, there's 8 or 9 of them at Hawthorn.
He's a great player. I mean, you don't do what he's done in finals, in grand finals.
Yep.
He's an inch away from winning a Norm Smith medal.
Yeah.
He's a great player.
He really is. So,
it doesn't surprise me that he might be banged up. that does not shock me at all.
Yeah, yeah. Where are we up to? Game number six.
Game number six is the GWS St Kilda game. I'm a bit forgiving on the Saints. One down week, I thought that they'd been pretty good with their attack on the footy and the man. I think that's been a real improvement. Structurally, they've looked better this year, certainly, than last year with the balance of when to go fast, when to play with some sort of poise. So I think that that's been better. I rated it a little bit because there's still a little bit in GWS. Whitfield won't play.
Yep.
Cornelio and Davis, we don't know yet.
Yep.
But both of them, even if they do play, will be a bit banged up. So, I mean, that's three absolute stars. I mean, you lose...
Absolute frontliners.
You lose Ward 2 weeks ago.
Yep, yep.
And then So Ward goes down, Whitfield's gone down, and you've got some sort of question mark on Davis and Cornelio. If you're St Kilda, you go, gee, well, this is when we want to play them, whether you're good enough to be able to get a result and away from home, but it's the right time to be playing them.
Anywhere at any stage this week in the Brains Trust meetings at the Giants, are they taking into account the fact that it's St Kilda and you've got these blokes? If it was a do-or-die preliminary final, then there's probably no doubt on the blokes who are 50-50. But it's round seven.
Correct.
And it's St Kilda.
Yeah, I don't think it's the...
They're not taking risks, are they?
I don't think it's a St Kilda factor at all.
You don't think...
I think it's a round seven factor.
Okay, right.
We've got bigger fish to fry here. We'll go in with what we've got available, fit and well, and be able to take them on. But we're not going to put somebody out there that potentially could get then hurt and lose
them
for the back half of the year. So I don't think it's about St Kilda. I think that they've been too competitive in their games to be taking any risk with them.
Yeah. There was a moment last week, Terry.
In which game?
In the St Kilda-Adelaide game.
Yep.
When it felt like it was sliding away from St Kilda. Loney's gone. It feels like they've already got all the injuries that we know about. And it felt like the game was slipping away from them. And Matthew Parker was involved in about four, five, or six phases of play. Obviously, the big mark and goal, but there are other phases of play where he's involved in. He showed...
He's a competitive beast,
isn't he? What?
Yeah.
He looks like a bloke who's, full of lair and X factor and can do all that stuff, but there was something about him that showed a deep competitiveness that I think if you're a St Kilda supporter, you look at those couple of moments in the game last week from that young fella and you think, well, we might have something a bit more than I thought here.
Yeah, I think Long is another one who's prepared to fight the fight. So I think they've brought in a couple of guys. He's played before, but just a couple of guys into that structured system that really want to have a crack, that want to base a game around, tackle pressure and being involved in all aspects of the game. And it's been a better look for them.
Yep.
I don't have any doubt it's been a better look for them.
You can't tip St Kilda though, can you?
I can't. Not up there. They've dropped, I know it was in Canberra, but they've dropped their one home game already, the GWS. They want to be dropping another.
Yep. Game number seven.
So game number seven is the Bulldogs and Tigers. And most people, I think, could sit back and go, well, Tigers just win. Go back to the last game last year that they played, and it went right down to the wire. It was a really good standard game, and the Bulldogs really took it up to them. Then you go, well, we just learned, if you just jumped in your car, David Asprey not playing.
Mm-hmm.
So he's out. So you've got no Rance, no Asprey, no Riewoldt. That's half your spine. That's gone out of the Tigers side, I should say. Only problem is that Richmond haven't got their number one spine there, and the Bulldogs haven't got a spine. And I don't mean that in the sense of
I know exactly what you're talking about.
They're big blokes. They just can't get anything going with their big guys.
Would it surprise you, though, if this Richmond team, the team of the 22 they're picking at the moment, who are exceeding, I would have thought, a lot of... they're performing magnificently given the players that aren't playing.
Yeah.
Would it surprise you at some stage if this group just had a down day? They've got a lot of players who are...
It wouldn't surprise me for any side in this competition to have a down day.
Yeah, but this particular Richmond team...
I trust them.
Yeah, just trust their name.
I trust their structures.
Yep.
I think they're structurally, not what's out in the park, as in players, but structurally, I think they're as tight as anyone play.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just, there's something about, and as much as they win respect and they deserve it, and credit to them for calling up the four, five, and six players they've had to dig in to call up. It's a team on paper. The names on paper just don't look as intimidating and imposing as, obviously, as Richmond teams have in the last couple of years. And it just wouldn't surprise me if one of these games, if the Western Bulldogs have a day where they play for four quarters instead of the two and a half or three that they've been producing, you know, here and there. Yeah. They were pretty good last week a lot of that game.
Their running capacity, their halfbacks, their ability through the middle of the ground is excellent.
Yep.
I just can't trust Will Hayes. I thought he
was throwing him into the mix.
Thought he was really good last week.
They're going to get a day where, you know, Lloyd and Dixon kick their three or four each, and Norton hasn't touched the footy for 2 weeks. I don't know what they're going to do with that. They played that young fella. They played him out of form, Terry. Yeah. I mean, so I don't know what they're going to do. I've got a feeling about this game. I don't want to tip against Richmond, but I've got a feeling about this game. You're tipping the Tigers?
I'm tipping the Tigers. I trust the Tigers. I really trust
the Tigers. Yeah, I think you've got to tip them, but I've got a real feeling about this one. Quickly, game number eight.
Brisbane and Sydney. I didn't think I'd be seeing Brisbane at the Gabba with Sydney. Swans going up there.
It'd been
low, but it's not based on the Lions.
Yep.
It's based on what the Swans have dished up.
Yep.
I mean, horrible, 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 the fact that they've lost their last three at the SCG this year, or their only three. Their last two, like five in a row, they've lost at the SCG now.
Do you feel like Brisbane's just going to run them off their legs in this game?
Yep.
That's what I feel like. They're just going to, just won't be able to get, they won't be able to hang on to it for long enough, Sydney.
Buddy not there again, obviously. Yep. So that's a concern. I think some of their younger players that were in reasonable form last year aren't in the same form. Mm. They haven't been able to sort of hold that or sustain that sort of that form. I think the Lions get them and get them pretty comfortably.
Righto, let's find out what's going on at PointsBet. The NBA early payout, 8 up at halftime. You win. Elliot Forbes is standing by with it all happening down at Warrnambool today. How are you, Elliot?
Andy, I'm going very well. How are you?
Terry will be as interested in this as anybody. The Grand Annual Steeplechase, what's the market looking like at PointsBet?
Look, it's been pretty solid, this market. We've got gold medals trying to defend the title, currently on the $6.50 quote. We have seen some money for it. ZM, though, will start your favourite here, currently at $2.30. Coming off some back-to-back wins here, and over the jumps at Oakbank last start, did win by 16 lengths. Very, very impressive. So ZM, $2.30, very, very impressive at Oakbank. The best back runner to beat it, though, is Slowpoke Rodriguez, $4 into $3.10 now. So that's the money that it is coming for, and it is the stablemate of ZM. So read into that what you want, but they're the two very well in the market, ZM and Slowpoke Rodriguez.
One of the great names of the racehorse of all time, Slowpoke Rodriguez. Hopefully it wins just for that. The Warrnambool Cup, what's the market looking like at PointsBet?
Yeah, look, so Darren Weir has won the last five Warrnambool Cups, so a streak that will be broken today. The race favourite is Fury in here, so an ex-Weir horse that is trained now by the Team Hayes. Currently the $3 has drifted out from the $2.60 quote. So a couple of roughies have been looked at here to beat it. Deviation and Light the Waves, both from Tony McAvoy, strongly supported. Light and the Waves, 23 now into $9. And probably worth mentioning, Pikey is over here riding as well. Plymouth Road for the Sydney trainer, Matty Smith, a rough hope around the $23 quote as well.
Now, Elliot, she's going to be a testing old night down there for a young pup like yourself. So I know we're going to speak to you tomorrow. Good luck surviving one of the big nights on an annual sporting basis down there at Warrnambool tonight. And we'll catch up with you tomorrow, see how you fared.
Sounds good, Andy. I might be on mute, but there we go.
Good on you, mate. Elliot Forbes from PointsBet. PointsBet's NBA early payout. 8 up at halftime. You win the last game of the round. Hopefully get a chance to quickly talk about the Suns with you, Terry. Terry Wallace, one more game to go before the games.
Well, unfortunately, we seem to have the Gold Coast in this position on most weeks, but West Coast versus Gold Coast. I'm thinking that the West Coast won't have 11 players who have 10 possessions or less.
That won't happen.
As they did last week. Look, Adelaide got themselves back on track by beating up on the Gold Coast, and I just get the sense that West Coast will do exactly the same.
You pointed out that from a TV schedule perspective, it's on at the same time as the Western Bulldogs-Richmond game. But
everybody will be watching that game.
Oh, but for West Coast and Gold Coast fans,
correct,
this game, and this is a bit of an issue for the Gold Coast Suns, I reckon. I would love to know, for the time that we've been doing this series, this segment, where the Gold Coast Suns have averaged out in terms of the... And this is not a pot... We're not barracking against the Gold Coast Suns, but...
Absolutely. I want them to be competitive. You'd love them to be competitive, and I want them to have more players who I want to turn the TV on and watch. I mean, we haven't seen Isaac Rankin. That was really disappointing that he got hurt, because he is one that genuinely you would want to watch play the way that he goes about it. Well done to Braden Fiorini. He's playing some good footy for the Suns at the moment. But there's not enough players to me that I look at and go, gee, I want to see what this guy is all about, what he does, and that's disappointing.
It is. You can't possibly tip him. They should be savage.
It means
nothing in the long term, but they've got to be savage this week. Yeah. You're joining Sam McClure. You're going to have all ins and outs for fascinating team selections
There's
tonight.
There's a heap on this week. How some of these sides are going to structure up will be really interesting.
Match committee from 6 o'clock tonight. We will know what they start to look like. I'm looking forward to tuning in and having a listen.
Good
Thanks
on,
for being part of it. Terry Wallace joining us before the games. The Caster Semenya story. We're going to have a chat to Dave Colbert about it after this.